Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 273 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag talks John Rahm and Ben Simmons separately. At 12:30, Alvin Kamara has a new job with NASCAR. And in mere minutes, Texas baseball loses and college athletes win a huge ruling in the Supreme Court. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me once again is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. Glad to be back. It is still hot out there, but it's not quite as muggy as where I was. Conroe, Texas. I don't know whether we consider Conroe, Texas, Houston or East Texas, but this time of year, neither of those places is cold, so I definitely got a good shot of muggy last week. Trey, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. Just give it this afternoon here in Austin, because the heat index for today, before some storms roll through to cool things down, at least for a day tomorrow, it's supposed to feel like around 110 at some point this afternoon.
Yeah, that's it has been super, super hot. Hope everybody's been keeping cool and feeling normal. There was plenty of normal on this trip. I was really excited about it. I'm seeing just more and more situations of like, okay, I went through that whole thing and I didn't wear a mask. I went to multiple, you know, restaurants, and then because I'm now more focused on the employees than I am focused on anybody else. So I'm watching it. Is my waiter wearing a mask? Is my waitress wearing a mask? Is the bartender wearing a mask? All those type of things. And I'm seeing more and more places, convenience stores, restaurants, fast food, regular food, whatever, where there's not a messaging on the door at all. Like I walk up and I'm still the guy that's got it in my pocket just to make sure. Got the mask just in case I need to throw it on, but I walk up to the door, it's blank. Nothing's there. Cool. Leave the mask in the pocket, go in, and it felt normal. That was fantastic. So I hope everybody got a lot of normal feel. Here locally, I wasn't there, Trey, but in watching a little bit of that Saturday night affair over at Q2, that felt normal. That felt like a packed house. I saw flags and drums and all that. The Matthew McConaughey thing was awesome. The level of detail that Austin FC got into for their first game, it seemed like a fun time. And it just seemed like people were, you know, having a normal sports experience. We certainly hope that'll be the case at DKR coming up September 4th. But that really made me feel good because it felt normal what I saw at Q2.
And a 0-0 final score in soccer.
That feels normal.
More normalcy.
For soccer.
Absolutely. More normalcy.
Lots of normalcy.
So what was the highlight of your vacation then? Look, we'll get to Texas baseball in a sec. Also, the Supreme Court ruling. But I am genuinely interested to know what you enjoyed most about the last week when you guys were in and around Lake Conroe.
I mean, I guess the basic would be the relaxation part of it, because I really did just chill out. And thanks to everybody here in the building for like not communicating with me at all. It was awesome. And because we have a really good office, I think, for that. In general, we respect each other's vacations.
A bunch of terrible communicators.
Well, yeah, that's true, which comes in handy on vacation.
Yes.
And I didn't realize because my situation's changed a little bit at the station, more responsibilities. I didn't know if I'd be able to really have a vacation. That was the best part. So there was a lot of cool things we did. But
you let it go also. You did not stress too much about
it. I didn't stress. I was way too, you know, OCD about it on the front end. I calmed myself down well before we started, and I actually had a vacation. So that was good. And then but I think getting out on the lake was fun.
Did you have a few Coors Light skis out on the lake?
Oh, I did. I did have there was a Coors Light or two. There definitely was a Coors Light or two. We had fun. My brother-in-law is ex-Navy and retired Navy, and so letting him, you know, man the boat and steer the boat and deal with things, and then also teach my nephew a little bit about driving the boat. That was cool. A little father-son time, you know, on the boat. But we just had a great time cruising around Lake Conroe. So that was probably the highlight.
That's great. Monkey had fun. Wendy had fun.
They had a good time. We locked into our favorite vacation show, which is the Maury Povich Show. We get into a lot of the you are the father, you are not the father, a lot of mindless TV that way. And then during the morning, I was watching a lot of Friends episodes, just good mindless stuff to, you know, to feel like I'm on vacation.
Now, as far as Lake Conroe goes, I imagine this as being a heavily trafficked lake, correct? A lot of motorboats, a lot of motor vehicles on this lake.
Overall, I think that's the case when you get to the weekends. We ended up choosing a perfect day. We went out on Thursday.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Did y'all get into the water?
We actually didn't.
Okay.
I
don't blame you for that, because that lake, at least not having been there before, the way it's described to me, it seems like it has a Lake Louisville feel to it.
I think that's probably fair. I was willing to sort of do what the group was ready to do. I was ready to jump into the lake if need be. Nobody else really felt like doing that. And then once I realized how much my brother-in-law was going to enjoy moving that boat, we all just kind of decided, well, let's just cruise around. We had it for like 2 hours or something. It wasn't like we spent, you know, 6 or 8 hours. So we were like, yeah, man, just go ahead. Do what you want to do. And the kids, once the kids decided they didn't want to get out, then I was good just drinking. I was good drinking and riding.
You're like, wait, even less responsibility? Sign me up.
He was my DC, my designated captain. So
I'll happily ask Monkey if I acted weird in any sort of way, shape, or form tomorrow.
Yes, we'll get to that later. That's much, much later. Yeah, so we had a good time. Hopefully everybody's having some of those normal situations. And also, since Trey and I are not soccer people, let us know what Q2 was like. Was it a whole different world? Were you excited to be there? I remember the first time I went to Dell Diamond, and the one overall thought I had was, I can't believe this is in Round Rock, Texas. I can't believe this is in Round Rock, Texas. It still mystified me all through the night. So did you have that as a soccer fan? If you went to the game, what was it like? What did you like? What did you not like? Was there any issues with parking or food, or here's what they need to tweak, or here's what they did really well? Let us know what the Austin FC experience was like in game one.
I have to imagine that the tone that McConaughey set prior to that game, coming out onto the field in the green suit with the giant bongo.
Dude, what a great call that was.
And leading that cheer. He's the minister of culture for good reason.
If he'd been more naked, that's the only way that could have been better. If he'd come out in like a loincloth, that would have been awesome. Because everybody remembers the story. But the fact that he had a bongo, brilliant. Brilliant detail.
So I'm guessing that even though it was a 0-0 game, because when it's 0-0, the next goal that you score gives you the lead. So the crowd remained fairly energetic throughout all 90-plus minutes.
And they were getting love from, I felt like they got some love from the announcers. They got some love from the broadcast. It felt like they were impressed. So that's why I want to hear from soccer people. What is the soccer community saying about Austin FC? This is a dream come true for so many people. How did it go? Because I'll just tell you, as a viewer, it looked like a hell of a show. It looked like a scene. And that's what I've been waiting for coming out of the pandemic in general. We've talked about that, college baseball, NBA, whatever. I just want a scene, man. Like the other night where the LA Clippers got to benefit from the first full house at Staples. The Lakers are already done by then, but they got to benefit from it and advance in the playoffs. So what was it like at Q2? Let us know.
It was a scene in Omaha last night.
Oof, yeah.
And there was a lot of good pitching and not a ton of hitting going on at the same time between Texas and Mississippi State.
I'm not saying we need to double-check everybody for spider tack in Omaha. I am saying it felt like the problem that Major League Baseball has right now sort of hit that game. But incredible pitching performances, man. Will Bednar. Sometimes baseball is just about, is the guy on the mound a badass? 15 strikeouts for him. His teammate added 6. That's a modern record. They tied a modern record. 21 strikeouts for one side. The Longhorns, I think, had 12?
I think they had...
Is that right?
14 total. Okay. Did you say 21 strikeouts for Mississippi
21
State?
21 for Mississippi State.
I thought I saw at the end of the game that 35 combined strikeouts was a College World Series record for 9 innings.
Okay.
For both teams.
You might be right. They got just enough. 2-0 for most of the game. I really thought that the baseball gods were about to hand Texas a game. Antico homers, that Melendez at bat featured one pitch. where I thought, ooh, that's third strike.
That should have been strike three, yes.
The first one that was a little high, I'll let you call that one a ball. But that second one, I'm like, dude, you've been calling that the whole game.
Yeah.
You're not going to let him have the bottom of the zone? Okay. And then as soon as Melendez gets the hit, I think, oh, my God, Texas is going to win this game. They're going to steal this game, and Mississippi State is going to be left just, you know, jaw to the floor. But obviously they get that last ground out. So now the Longhorns are facing one of the two crazy days in college baseball. One is today, one is tomorrow, where we determine who's 2-barbecue in Omaha. Today it's Stanford and Arizona. One of them's going home. So today it's one of the two Pac-12 teams. Tomorrow, one of the UTs goes home as an 0-2-barbecue team. Texas and Tennessee. Tomorrow, this is the number 2 and 3 overall seeds in the country that will now meet in a loser's bracket game. Tennessee didn't score any runs, got beat 6-0. Texas gets beat essentially 2-0, but they did get the run on the Antico homer, so 2-1. So combined, they only score a run, and tomorrow they'll be fighting for their lives. Loser's bracket is tough. Now you got to win an extra game or two that the winners are not going to have to deal with. And because if Mississippi State, to give everybody the comparison, if they win tomorrow evening,
they don't play again until
Friday.
Right.
And in fact, the winner's bracket game tonight doesn't play till Friday. That's the real advantage. If you're in bracket one,
wow,
the winner's game tonight is Vandy NC State. Assuming no weather issues, they'll play tonight and the winner is off until Friday. Mm. And you got to beat them twice. That is an incredible advantage. Tomorrow's winner is off till Friday. You got to beat them twice as well. So Texas is going to have to win tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
And just hearing people who understand college baseball talk about the challenge that UT has in front of them or had in front of them heading into the College World Series, and that's University of Texas, not Tennessee, the consensus was that there wasn't a consensus, that the two toughest teams on their side of the bracket, the two biggest concerns were Mississippi State and Tennessee. So I guess it's fitting that the first two games that they have to play to try and extend their postseason life, since they couldn't get past Mississippi State, they couldn't avenge that first game of the season, is to try and knock off the Volunteers now to scratch and claw their way back to gain another opportunity to avenge what is now two losses to the Bulldogs.
And it's a weird like bookend, because the season started with games against these SEC teams and a lot of strikeouts for Texas. So you're hoping, if you're a Texas fan, that this isn't all coming back to haunt you in Omaha, because you're just hoping this is about one guy, that he just had a hell of a day and that you can, you know, work your way out of it with Tennessee. But we'll see about that tomorrow afternoon. Again, that's a 1 o'clock start, so we'll have kind of a shorter, truncated show that's not really a show tomorrow. 12:45 pregame, 1 o'clock start for Texas and Tennessee.
And the concern that you had, if you were a Longhorn fan coming out of the regional and super regional, if you had a concern, is that the caliber of competition that you would face those two weekends was not necessarily up to snuff. Look, you have to take care of the business in front of you, and they certainly did that, but it was lesser competition that they were beating. And so you wonder, having to go up against good teams then, if it's going to take a little bit of an adjustment with that heightened competition. Now, with the Mississippi State game last night, obviously, Will Bednar,
yeah.
Thank you. Kept wanting to say Bedard last night, the old Baltimore Orioles pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
Between he and the reliever, who's supposed to be one of the best closers in college baseball, you ran into a bit of a buzzsaw there. So hopefully the bats can really get it going tonight, tomorrow afternoon, and they can also get a good performance from Tristan Stevens, too. They need to keep Tennessee, which is a pretty high-powered offense, from scoring runs to have a chance, especially because the middle of that order has continued to struggle putting bat on ball.
So, again, today at 1 is the first elimination game, Stanford and Arizona. We'll be talking Texas baseball throughout the week, and again, bringing you that game tomorrow at 1. The other massive story of the day breaks, I don't know, an hour or so ago, something like that. And, Trey, this is the ultimate sports example of be careful when you ask the question. Don't ask it unless you want the answer, right? If you're going to go to your wife or your husband and you really want to know how many people they've had sex with, If you really want to know, you can ask. But don't be upset when it comes back 18 and you were thinking 4 because you asked and you said you wanted to know and you said you could deal with it. The NCAA for years has been asking, no, we need another court to tell us. We need another court to tell us because we know we're right because amateurism makes sense. Today was the day that we found out what the Supreme Court thinks of the NCAA and their amateurism rules. And the answer is staggering to me. I am completely flipped out by what they did today.
They voted 9-0 to uphold lower court rulings that the NCAA's restrictions on its athletes were a violation of antitrust laws.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that could be foreseen now for a little while. Now, what does this do? This has nothing to do with NIL. That's first and foremost. Obviously, that's top of mind for a lot of us right now. We can and will get to that throughout today's show and later in the week, too, because the NCAA and specifically some conferences, 6 different conferences, are trying to sway things to keep a competitive advantage from coming into place in a little bit more than a week now, on July 1st, when the Texas NIL law and several other states' laws go into effect. But this specific ruling is essentially allowing college athletes to receive education-based benefits, Chad, like free laptops, paid post-grad internships, and other things that can actually enhance the student part of the student-athlete equation.
Maybe some kind of a trip that's involved in your education?
If you can go study overseas for a semester, assuming that your sports calendar allows for that, that can now be paid for by the university as well. So I think all of these things are good because it is trying to actually help fuel the student portion of that student-athlete conversation. But at the same time, this is also something that's going to create more separation between the haves and have-nots. The schools that have the ability to actually pay for these things versus those that do not.
Sure.
And that can very easily be looked at as a Power 5 versus G5 and other lesser conferences discussion, specifically in college football.
So there's a lot of different quotes you'll hear from this story, but Brett Kavanaugh is the first one that jumped out to me. Brett Kavanaugh said, quote, "The NCAA is not above the law. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America." End quote.
Nowhere, this is also from Kavanaugh, nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing to not pay their workers a fair market rate on their theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate.
Oh, my God. So, Trey, let's understand what we've just experienced. It is 2021, the Supreme Court of the United States. I don't think I could get those 9 people to all vote one way on anything. I don't think if I ask them to do French fries or onion rings, if they'd go 9-0, mayonnaise or mustard. I mean, I can't think of many things that I could get them to vote, and I know they'd go 9-0. There'd be one crazy ketchup person. There'd be one wacky or onion ring guy. There's no way Kavanaugh would say fries over onion rings. Somebody would say onion rings over fries. The fact that they went 9-0 here, again, this is the NCAA finally getting an answer that they have been avoiding for all this time. So now what? Now what, Mark Emmert? The Supreme Court of the United States, which right now, if I'm not mistaken, is leaning in a conservative direction. Is that fair?
Yeah.
That fair to say? That kind of Supreme Court just said 9-0 to you. That is a significant moment. Mark Emmert has got to be a little unnerved at lunch today.
Yeah, I love how Mark Emmert, this is being reported by The Athletic in an article from, I want to say it was a day or two ago, that he sent a memo to all 3 NCAA divisions on Friday threatening to take action himself if the Division I Council doesn't pass legislation by the end of June, specifically to NIL. But this should and is lumped into that category because it has to do with actually extending college athletes' rights and giving them access to more things that cost money, which can be paid for by this system that rakes in billions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
And so for Emmert to send this threatening memo out to the council on Friday, or to the different levels that the council needs to make something happen on Friday. Mark, you've had, what, 3 years now since California started the legislative process to get an NIL law on the books, or maybe it was just a year or two. Whatever it is, this has been coming for a long time. And the NCAA has chosen to slow play this thing to the point where this is really out of their hands now. And you have a number of conferences, these six different conferences, the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Sun Belt, SWAC, and MAC, or MAAC, excuse me, that's not the MAC. They are now saying, look, you need to let schools make decisions on how they can deal with these new NIL laws on their own. So you have schools that are in states that have laws on the books, but for all other schools whose states have really dropped the ball, pun intended, with regards to allowing its college athletes to profit off of name, image, and likeness, it should now, this is what they're arguing, it should now be up to the individual schools to make that happen. Now, the fortunate thing about the Supreme Court ruling today is that all schools get to operate with the same set of assumptions, and that is that you can provide your athletes something if it is something that is benefiting their education.
Yep.
You can't be making these promises necessarily when it comes to trying to recruit these kids, although how are you going to stop that?
By the way,
when you come here, you get a free laptop because it's going to help you with your science class.
Just like they would have told you what kind of computer room they had in the past.
Yeah.
That's what they tell you now, right?
Yeah.
What kind of computer facility do you have? What are the dorms like?
Yep.
What kind of academic aid do I have?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is.
Right.
It's just more specific academic aid that's allowed. We'll talk more about that. If you have thoughts on it, please let us know. You know the Specs text line is there at 337-3776. We're also getting texts in from people that were at Q2. I'll read one of those texts coming up. If you were there for the Austin FC's first match, let us know how it went. Did you like the energy? Is there something you didn't like? Something you'd tell them to fix? Or did you have a wonderful time with Matthew and the Bongo and Austin FC? Obviously, you would have liked to win, but they were able to get a draw in their first home match. More on that coming up. Also up next, Alvin Kamara has a second job with NASCAR. We'll try to explain on the horn.
Shirts and skins.
I like the sentiment so far. What do you got, Trey?
This is more Heartless Bastards, Chad. It's been a while since we've done New Music Friday on a Monday, but that returns today with some new music from Erica and the crew. This song is called How Low.
So I was rewatching some Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and you've played some St. Vincent on this show. Have you ever seen the stage performance?
Oh, she does performance art. I saw her and David Byrne at Chicago Theater a number of years ago. It was insane.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
You just said she was hanging with David Byrne.
Yep.
The stuff they think of, the dumb little details that they think of as part of their presentation is wild. Right down to the like stuff that the backup singers do. She's got the three backup singer vibe going. But they even give them things to do that are weirdly specific, and you can't help but notice it.
Like what?
Like how they picked up their microphones for a song. Like one of the songs, they took the cord, and they picked the microphone up real slowly. Like they weren't singing yet. Mm. They picked it up like it was a rope, and they kept it. And then right as it got to their mouth level, they started to sing and then grabbed it with the other hand, and then they were doing the backup vocals.
Oh, that's cool.
It was just very specific. And at the end of one of the songs, they all were together, and then it looked like they all fell asleep and they all were like holding the pose and everything. It's just really, really bizarre. That looks like a strange woman in a good way, but she looks like an odd duck.
Dallas native. She went to Lake Highlands High School. And yeah, she is the queen of art rock in this era of music.
Yeah, it's good stuff there. And Trey getting you a little Heartless Bastards to start off the show. We hope you are having a good day. Coming up at 1, we'll start to update you on the elimination game in Omaha. There's a Pac-12 team going home today. Stanford and Arizona were among the losers to start this thing. So one of those goes to and barbecue today later on. It's Vanderbilt and NC State in the winner's bracket game. So you've got Vanderbilt and Mississippi State that both won from the SEC. Somebody was asking about the Longhorns' record against the SEC this year. Obviously, they have had some losses, the one at the beginning of the year and this one to Mississippi State. And then there were wins in the middle somewhere, too. Obviously, they, we'll say, lost to A&M, but then beat Arkansas, right? No.
Yes.
Yes. I think they did, or LSU, Arkansas, or LSU, somebody in the middle they had. But overall, probably a losing record right now. Somebody also asking, how do you determine who the home team's going to be tomorrow afternoon? And I'll be honest, that's one I always re-ask. But in the initial games, I think it's about higher seed. So if you're a national seed or whatever. But Texas does not get to be the home team rolling through the entire thing. I think you end up switching it out. I think maybe sometimes there's a drawing that's done, like the teams do a little drawing or coin flip that's done. So I wouldn't be surprised if Texas ends up being the visiting team against Tennessee after being the home team in the first game. But we'll check on that for you.
And Texas lost to Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Ole Miss. Their only win against SEC competition this year is that A&M game. They did not play LSU.
They didn't play LSU.
Right.
But wait, A&M beat them.
Oh, you're right about that. So they're winless against the SEC
right
now.
All
right,
I thought they'd won a game. My bad. So yeah, obviously.
Wait, nope, they beat South Carolina. That's the SEC opponent that they swept.
There it is.
Here in Austin.
Okay, I knew there was somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, so the South Carolina win, so 3 and whatever the others are, 3 and lose the 3. 3 and 4? 3 and 5?
3 and 6. 4.
5, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there.
Oh, 3 and 5 now, yes, with the Mississippi State loss. See, this is why you and I don't talk more college baseball, Chad.
This is why we were not talking
a bunch of college baseball on the show last week.
Yeah. Now, the way I'm looking at this for tomorrow, right now the ESPN screen does have Texas on the bottom. I don't know if that means they're going to be the home team, but there you go. But Texas and Tennessee will be tomorrow. Also, on the text line, we are getting a reaction to a couple different things. To the NCAA story, someone's asking if are we allowed to get a little smear of cream cheese on the bagel now? For F's sake?
No.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
No, that has nothing to do with education.
That is not about education. That's just about nutrition. Snacking.
Yeah, that's just about snacking.
That's right. Nutrition. It's not the same thing.
Unless you are majoring in food sciences.
Ooh, now we found the loophole. We're also asking people if you were at Q2, what was the experience like for the first home game with Austin FC? Somebody says, soccer family, season ticket owners. I play, my two boys play in select. The wife is a diehard. Energy was awesome in the stadium, but the crowd was begging for a goal to let out all that energy. I hope fans continue to keep it up for years and not let it be one season and done. I did see some, quote, fans who were there to get some pictures on their Instagram feed and left before halftime.
Yeah, that's 3/4 of that stadium. Hate to break the news to you there.
That's not what you want. You don't want that.
There's a lot of people who are willing to pay way too much for a ticket just to be at that first game.
Hey, I saw flag waving. I saw drum playing. Hopefully they will get some scoring to go along with it, maybe get a win at some point. There are a lot of games on this schedule, if you don't know. There's like 34 regular season games. So you're going to get opportunities to go to Q2 if you want.
Well, I think they're also home for like the next month, too.
Yeah.
Because they played so many road games to start the season.
Yeah, go check that schedule. I think you could see the Austin FC play if you want to. Yes, 3-5. We had forgotten about South Carolina there. Somebody reminding us. So we've hit a little baseball, and obviously this big NCAA decision. Supreme Court votes 9-0. 9-0 that the NCAA's laws and rules and everything on amateurism violates antitrust laws. Again, I don't know if you could have gotten these 9 people to agree on any. I would love to just give them a list of random things and see if there's anything else they'd go 9-0 on. Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck? Iron Man or Captain America? Just random things. You skirt or, you know, you prefer, business attire or casual attire. The fact that they went 9-0 is pretty wild, and we'll see where this goes, but it is about connecting it to education. They were a little specific there, Trey. And we should, before we heap too much praise on the Supreme Court, let's make sure we understand they weren't really expansive in that regard. They kept this down to that word educational, and that is going to cause a lot of weird conversations, weird thoughts about it, because it's, can you connect it to the education of that student? But you brought up a terrific example already. I mean, I'm the father of a 14-year-old. Your kids are both younger than that, but you're going to deal with this twice coming up, that now kids in grade school are getting computers.
Oh, gosh, really?
My kid has had a computer that was issued to her since, was it fifth or sixth grade? It's middle school. Maybe it was even before that. Maybe they even did it in elementary. But if you're going to do that, then once you get to that college level, yeah, you have badass computer rooms and stuff, but what about the laptop for the athlete that has to travel a ton and can't afford it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you just buy it for them because the university will have an agreement with some local computer company, right?
Theoretically, you can. But how many schools out there who have a full athletic programs going back to before COVID because things are a little bit dire financially? And as soon as COVID hit, it provided that valid excuse to actually get rid of certain programs.
So at this point, can you start to connect things like, if I'm the big money donor, can't you just come to me and instead of saying, would you cut us a check for our new weight room? Isn't it just, can you cut us a check for some computers for the tennis team?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple, isn't it? Like, I like the idea. Here's what I like about it. If I'm a football player at LSU, I just picked a place that I know put in a new locker room in the last few years. We all saw pictures of it, and they all lay down in the beds. If I have a choice, if I can now get that LSU football player a computer, and his like seat in the locker room might not go all the way horizontal, but he's got the computer and that helps him with his education, and the locker room doesn't do anything to his education, well, that's a good option for me. Doesn't that make more sense? Aren't we actually helping the athletes then?
Well, aren't you already paying for their books too? So in this digital age,
that's true.
Doesn't it make sense to be able to offer up things like computers, or maybe there's software that's important for a specific major?
True.
Like, shouldn't you be allowed to utilize that as part of the athletic scholarship?
Computers.
For basketball, football especially, but all these other sports to lesser degrees? Because let's say you can only front a percentage of the actual tuition, which is the case in a lot of sports other than the big two. Because even baseball isn't this anymore, unless you're a private school, and at that point it's a totally different set of rules. So to be able to offer up some of these little benefits now, I think is a good thing for most schools going forward, assuming that they can afford it. And if they can't afford it, it'll probably knock them down a peg or two on the athletic side of things, because inevitably whatever competition can't afford it is either going to catch up with you or move that much further ahead of you.
Somebody says this 9-0 ruling by the Supreme Court makes like 7 9-0 rulings in the last 2 weeks. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Didn't know that.
Cool.
All right. There's a whole bunch of stuff they're agreeing on. I guess that could be a good thing. All right. So we've talked about that story. Also, just to have it out there into the universe, weird headline you may have seen. Alvin Kamara of the Saints. He's not leaving the NFL, but he does have a second job now, which may be allowed in the NCAA very soon. Alvin Kamara is going to be working with NASCAR as a growth and engagement advisor. And from what I'm reading, Trey, here's how simple this is. He became a fan during the pandemic because it was nothing else to watch. Remember, they were one of the first sports that came back, the virtual version and then the real version. He got into NASCAR. He just started learning a little more about it. Oh, it's not just about left turns. Oh, wait a minute. What's a pit crew? Wait a minute. What's a tire guy? Wait a minute. What's this gas can thing going on? Maybe the Bubba Wallace story appealed to him in some way. Maybe the fact that they got rid of the Confederate flag appealed to him in some way as a black athlete. And in this case, a black NASCAR fan. So now Alvin Kamara claims he has an office. He claims he has like a position. And he's going to be talking to them about how to expand their fan base. All right.
Mm.
There you go.
Yeah, his role is going to focus on connecting new audiences through immersive and educational experiences. And it includes interacting directly with fans at races. That's pretty cool. That he's going to be sitting at a table, willing to sign autographs, willing to talk to people about some of what he loves about racing and things like that. Good for him. Good for his team at Clutch Sports Group, who carved out this new role for him. I think that's great for Alvin, and it certainly can't hurt NASCAR.
Yeah,
trying to gain more of those people who love Alvin from what he's done in the NFL, trying to capture some of that audience. Good for them.
Yeah, and I'm sure people all across NASCAR have experienced this, where you just meet somebody. Like, the ability of a person to love getting in a car and driving fast, or appreciating the ability to do it, that cuts across everything. Race, gender, whatever. You just have to get into it. You have to understand that idea of, you either love seeing the cars go 150, or you dream of going 150, or whatever it is. And car people are car people. Mm-hmm. So Alvin Kamara has kind of become one of those. Good luck with Alvin, and hopefully it won't get in the way of his NFL career. He joked around about Sean Payton may have to give me a little personal time off. I don't think that's going to happen. Hopefully we don't have another Aaron Rodgers situation there. But Alvin Kamara going to be working with NASCAR a little bit. Best of luck to all those folks trying to expand that universe. All right, coming up in the crap bag, I'll give you a little good and bad in the sports world. One guy I'm really happy for, and one guy that I'm thoroughly confused about right now. On the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
These worries take my breath, my heart's a heavy ache. Don't know what I'm gonna do till this pain goes away. This world don't cherish truth, my spirit's been mad for days. Don't know what I'm gonna do till this pain goes away. I will not be moved, shall not be moved. Won't sell my soul, won't live in vain. No, I was born to work until my dying day. So that's what I'm gonna do till this pain goes away. There seems no limit.
I like it. What do you got, Trey?
This is Jackie Vinson, Chad. She is a local artist who is starting to make a name for herself nationally, and her new song is called Till This Pain Goes Away.
Very
nice. Actually saw her open for Gary Clark Jr. at Stubbs a year and a half ago.
Okay. Is that Vincent, like with a T at the end?
Vinson, like venison without the I.
Oh, like a V-I-N-S-O-N.
That's it.
Gotcha. Very nice voice. Good presentation there. Like that keyboard, too. A lot of good stuff going on there. Trey will get some new music from last week to you today. Some Heartless Bastards already, and a little Jackie Vinson for you. Remember, Texas and Tennessee in baseball tomorrow at 1. That will be an elimination game. The UTs have only got together. This is weird, hard to believe. The two UTs have only played twice ever in college baseball. Twice. Two games. And
wow.
Apparently it was both of them at a tournament in the tournament that they used to have in Houston, or I guess they still have it in Houston, at Minute Maid a couple times. Tennessee's won both games, and that's it. That's the only time they've ever played. Tomorrow will be really important because these are teams good enough to make a run. Obviously, they both had a tough, rough start. Tennessee unable to score a run, getting beat 6-0 by Virginia. Longhorns run up against Will Bednar and his 15 strikeouts for Mississippi State. Longhorns couldn't find enough against him, but we know these two teams are really good. So it's a dangerous group that's going to win tomorrow and then have to win through. And ultimately, you're going to have either Virginia or Mississippi State that'll win tomorrow and then set up a situation where you're going to have to get all the way through back to them and then beat them twice. That's the beauty of this bracket. I've always said, Trey, I love the way this bracket sets up. I love the way it rewards winners. It rewards, you know, with these home games up until Omaha, but it continues to reward you. If you win the right games in this tournament, you get big advantages.
And the right games is the first two.
Yes, especially that first one. It's big for Texas to lose that one because now you get the setup. If you can win, whoever wins those first two games on each side, such a massive advantage to be off and rest your pitching.
Well, if Mississippi State can win tonight, it's conceivable that they could bring Bednar back for either the Friday or the Saturday game, assuming that they lose that Friday game. Because you're right, the whoever faces them, whether it's Texas, Tennessee, or Virginia, any of those teams have to win twice. So Mississippi yeah. State has a huge luxury if they win tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right. He'd get today. He gets today off. They play tomorrow.
He's obviously not going to pitch tomorrow.
And obviously wouldn't be the one. He would get then if they won it, he would get Wednesday and Thursday. There would be four full days.
So yeah, so at that point you're operating on major league rotation rest. Mm-hmm. Now, college guys tend to pitch once a week, but those things do change in postseason. I'm guessing Mississippi State, I don't know what they would do, because if you can win that game, you get to reset your rotation once again, right, for the best of three that begins that following
Monday.
Monday, mm-hmm. So you probably do try and pitch him on Friday in order to bring him back for perhaps that Tuesday game.
Yeah, it's a matter of, it just depends on what your theory is. Do you want to pitch him on that Friday to close the door, or do you want to save him for Saturday just in case? You know what I mean? Just in case they get you the one time, whoever they happens to be, do you want to have him be the stopgap at the end?
Yeah, because if it's Texas, do you roll him back out there because of how dominant he was the first time around, or do you worry that the Longhorns may have gotten a beat on him and save him for that next game?
Yep.
Hopefully it's a question that we Longhorn fans get to talk about on Thursday and Friday.
All right, before we get to Joe Cook and Inside Texas, we talk to him every Monday at 1. We'll get into more of what happened to the Longhorns against Mississippi State. Let me get you a quick crap bag here, some good and bad.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. A little good and bad, I was really excited to see the Jon Rahm victory at the U.S. Open. He's been through a lot lately. He's been playing really good golf, but remember, he had to stop playing at one point. They stopped him after a third round and said, dude, you tested positive for COVID. He's admitted since then, man, I probably should have gotten vaccinated sooner, but I didn't do it. I feel kind of dumb, whatever. But now, still playing good golf, he birdies those last two holes, he holds off Oosthuizen, and he wins. I also like the crowd reaction to him, that an American golf crowd is that responsive to a Spanish golfer is very cool. The attitude's pretty cool. He's got that beautiful wife. He's got a cute little baby. It all works for Jon Rahm. Who it's not working for right now is Ben Simmons. Did anybody else catch this number coming out of that series? So, in the end, the Milwaukee Bucks found a way to get, excuse me, the Atlanta Hawks found a way to beat Philly in Philly. And there's all kinds of angles you could go to. Is there, you know, a Doc Rivers issue there? Because he seems to be the coach that never quite gets there. But this Ben Simmons story is wild. Ben Simmons in games 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 of that series took no shots in the fourth quarter. I'm going to say that again. Mm. In game 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7, he took no shots. For the series, he was 3 for 3, so congrats in the fourth quarter. But he only took 3 shots? Trey, I don't know if he's their second best player. By points scored, he's their fourth best player. But either one, 7-game series that's that close, your second or fourth best player takes no shots in the fourth quarter? He was the number one overall pick in the draft, and he took no shots in a fourth quarter for 4 straight games, and the coach takes him out late because he's so wretched from the free throw line. It's like a Twilight Zone episode watching this guy play. I am not a Sixers fan, but if I was, I would drink heavily watching this team play. It is so bizarre. What's going on with Ben Simmons right now?
And now we get a reset of the conversation that we've had these last two off seasons, Chad, and that is, can Philadelphia win with both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on the roster? Has nothing to do with what those guys feel about one another off the court. It's how their styles co-mingle or don't when they're actually playing in big playoff games. And it seems pretty clear to everybody right now that you only need to keep one of those two guys if you're Philadelphia, and it's not Ben Simmons.
Did you see when he gave up the dunk in that game 7?
No.
3.5 minutes to go. They're down two. Ben Simmons cuts. He gets the ball at about the right block, let's say. He's driving in. The defender goes away. He is free and open, going to the basket. It looks like he's got a dunk. There is a defender kind of in the area. He says he thought maybe he was coming over the top. He passes out of it. He passed to someone, and they miss. They got fouled and then only hit one free throw. After the game, they asked Joel Embiid, where did the game go wrong or where did it turn? He went right to that moment. He stumbled around trying to say it, but he basically said, when we turned down that easy a shot, I felt like that was a crossroads. They asked Doc Rivers, can he be the point guard on the championship team y'all want to be? And he answered with, I can't answer that right now. Really? You can't? Well, there's a lot going on.
You answered it,
Whoa.
Doc,
yeah.
Even if you made it seem like you weren't.
That is a wild story to follow, man. Ben Simmons. I'm not going to make it all about where basketball is today. That'd be too simplistic. But the fact that he's the first pick in the draft and all this is happening and he just doesn't seem to want to shoot in big moments? Wow. Especially if you believe he's their second best player. I would argue numbers that Tobias Harris was better and Seth Curry's better in terms of the way they score.
Yeah.
But if you're going to say he's their second best player, name a second best player in the history of the NBA that doesn't want to shoot in the fourth quarter. Name one. I can't think of one. Remember when Kobe was afraid to shoot back in the day when Shaq was? No, I don't. who do we think's the second best player on the Mavs championship team? I don't know, but I bet he liked to shoot the ball. I bet he'd shoot it in the fourth quarter.
Was it Jason Terry?
Maybe. If Dirk was having a little bit of a cold night, do you think he would shoot? I think he would.
Jason Terry liked to shoot the ball.
No shots in four straight games of a seven-game series. I am so confused by that. All right, there you go. A little crap bag for you on a Monday. Up next, back to Texas baseball. They did not have quite enough when facing that Mississippi State team and that Mississippi State pitcher. We'll go back over it with Joe Cook and get a thought from him on where Texas stands as they head into this Tennessee game. Also at 1:30, back to the NBA, the four teams left to win a title are who? We'll talk about it on the horn.